Undone, our journey today takes us to Joshua chapter 13, and I would invite you to turn there with me, please. Thank you so much for the music this morning. Wednesday night, it was hot in here as one of the units was not working. Today, I see some people wrapped up, and it's cool in here. What do you do? Just everybody bear with us, okay, with it all. Just thankful for the Lord's goodness. As a teenager, when we were living in Germany, a man by the name of Joe Watson first introduced me to something called Southern Gospel Music. He gave me two CDs. One was by the Kingsmen Quartet, Wish You Were Here. The other was by Gold City Quartet, and it was called Answer the Call. I expanded my collection and my interest from it. From that point on, and I followed it from a distance while we were in Germany. But after returning to the United States, I was given the opportunity to go and hear several of these older and greater groups sing live and in person. I guess it would have been probably during somewhere around the mid-90s, maybe 1996, 97 or so, I had the opportunity to go and hear a group sing called the Perrys. Many of you may recognize that name. I sat in amazement as I watched and I heard one of the funniest, one of the most energetic and smoothest bass singers in their field as he performed in such a memorable way. His name was Tracy Stuffel. I never met Tracy, but I'm told by many people who did know him that he loved the Lord, he was a good man, and he believed everything that he sang. My heart was saddened when the news got out in January of 2013, that Tracy Stuffel had had a very severe, severe stroke. After many, many months in the hospital and many months beyond that in therapy and even going into the years, he attempted to make a return to the stage. But it became obvious not only to everyone but him and him also that time and circumstances had made a change in the man that he once was. On February the 2nd, 2016, he was on stage at a special event, and he had two women, Kelly Nealon and Karen Peck, came up, and by his request, he sang the words to an old song while he sat in his wheelchair. He sat there and he sang the words, "Time has made a change in me." You can go and you can watch that video, and the fact of the matter is his post-stroke condition, it is heartbreaking to watch. At that point in his life, time had made a change in me. Listen to me, that was the testimony of his life. He saw things differently. He realized life was different from what it once was, and it was the testimony of his life. Tracy Stuffel died on February the 4th, 2018, probably just in his mid to late 50s. My mind was drawn to his story when I read the words of Joshua 13 and verse number 1. It says, "Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, Thou art old, stricken in years." Here's the phrase I want you to get in your heart. "There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed." There remaineth yet very much land to be possessed. Here we have an old man. And I want to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on this thought, this truth. Face the facts. Time has made a change in me. Face the facts. Time has made a change in me. There's not one represented here on this Sunday morning or one that may be listening who has lived any amount of time at all that you have not come face to face with that fact, haven't you? That time has made a change in you. As you grow older and as you live longer, you realize that you just look different, don't you? You feel different. You act different. You think differently about things. You approach certain circumstances in a different way. You become far more aware of your ever-fading condition. You begin to evaluate your life, and you begin to look at things that you have accomplished in life. And then you begin to look at areas by which, listen, that you've left a whole lot of things undone in your journey of life. I must confess that when I first read through chapters 12 and 13 of the book of Joshua, and even the next five or six chapters that follow, as I read through it and the division up of the land, and we'll get into all of that in the future a bit more, but as I looked at it, I nearly passed it straight by. Because when you read these passages of Scripture, you don't really see a whole lot of applicable truth that we can take and give to our own life today about spiritual victory or leaving nothing undone in it. But I'm so thankful that the more you pray and the more you study, the God will always give you something that will help you. And God did that with me, even in this passage of Scripture. You see, there are some facts that we can see here in this particular area of the Bible. Facts that lets us know that we need to face some things. And the truth is, time has truly made a change in me. And there's some things here that, if we're honest today, they'll be hard for some of us to swallow. They really will. But be it younger or be it older or anybody in between, I think there's some things that'll help God's people here today as we strive to live a victorious Christian life and leave nothing undone in it. The first thing I want you to write down from our text here this morning is the recollection of the past. And you need to know that. There has to be the recollection of the past. As mentioned just a moment ago, when I read over, and when you were to read over chapters 13, 12, 13, and on through, you don't see a whole lot there. It doesn't appear as if there's a whole lot that is going to be able to help you in your Christian life. The first six verses of chapter 12, what they are doing is they are giving us really a catalog of all of the land, all of the cities, all of the territories, and all of the regions that Moses had conquered while under his leadership, but while they were yet on the wilderness side of Jordan. They had not yet crossed into the land of Canaan. But when you pick it up in verse 7 and carry it all the way to verse 24, you see another catalog of regions and cities and lands and kings that were conquered as well. But this was after they had crossed over into the Lord's land of promise and under the leadership of General Joshua. Now, these verses that we are reading, really this whole area of Scripture, it can be difficult reading. It can be difficult studying because so many of these names and these places in the Bible, they're hard to pronounce. Have you ever read the Bible and you found yourself in that spot? They're just hard to pronounce, and you find yourself in a situation where the thread of its importance is really hard to trace in your life, and it's easy, and you're so tempted to skip over it. Can I challenge you that when you come to passages of Scripture like that, that's when you need to dig down deeper and look further into the Word of God? Because had we skipped over some of these, we would have missed some of the most key and critical principles to having a life of victory and leaving nothing undone in it. Now, Christian, look at me and listen to me right now, because there's a lesson that every one of us needs to learn. God is not looking for casual students of His Word. Learn that. God is not looking for casual students of His Word. If we want to be a victorious Christian, and if we want to leave nothing undone in this life, sometimes we've got to dive deep into what may appear to be to us uncharted waters of the Word of God to find the treasures, because sometimes those treasures are not always right on the surface. Sometimes they are not always easy to see. And so now back in chapter number 12, concerning Joshua's conquest of the land, we are here introduced to 31 different kings. 31 kings who had been brought under control and the possession and under the leadership and the rule now of the people of God. And these were kings. They just weren't any kings, okay? But folks, these were powerful kings. Kings that had powerful armies. The Bible refers to them as kings who had mighty giants that were within their land. These were kings that no ragtag army with limited resources and limited experience should have ever been able to prevail over. But God. It doesn't matter what the king is you may be facing in your life. God is bigger than all of those kings. And here we are seeing a picture of that given to us in the Word of God. The biggest kings that the world had to offer, particularly in the land of Canaan at that time, were coming against God's people. They didn't have a chance. But God was in the middle of it all. Now this list that we are seeing here, it is actually no accident at all that we signed it in its placement and in its presentation in the Scripture. Because when we read chapter 13 and verse number 1, listen to it again. Now Joshua was old and stricken in years. And then we see right after that that the Lord confirms that in the very next phrase. But when we see those words, you know what it's telling us? It's telling us that here we have this older man, Joshua, and what he is doing is he is looking back over everything in his life, all of the different paths and journeys that he had been on in life. And folks, he wasn't just looking at the good days, the days after crossing into the land of Canaan, that land that flowed with milk and honey. He wasn't just looking at that, but he was also considering some of the hard days of life. And he was considering how the Lord had been so faithful to him all through his journey. Now listen to me, folks. Just because you have a bad day, and maybe in your calculation it is one of the worst days that you've ever had, just because you have a bad series of time, listen, it does not mean that God is not in the middle of all of that. It does not mean that God is still not working in the middle of the hard days, the dark days, the difficult days of your life to mold you and to make you into who He wants you to be, that you may live a victorious Christian life and leave nothing undone in it. Every one of us here today that has lived a little while in our Christian journey, we've been walking with God for a little while. It is a good thing to every once in a while just stop and look back through the pages of our past. Just to look back and recollect some things and be intentional about revisiting maybe some of the good days, but also some of the bad days. And in the middle of it, acknowledge some of the undeserved kindness, mercy, and grace of God that we have found in the middle of it all. And I'm not talking about in a prideful, look at what I've done kind of way. I'm talking about with a humility, with a gratitude, with an acknowledgement that if it were not for the goodness of God, we would still be wandering out in the middle of a barren wilderness of nowhere. We would have never crossed over into the land of victory. Furthermore, we would have already died on the battlefield of life somewhere spiritually. But where grace did abound, sin did abound, grace did much more abound, and we can rejoice in that. Though there's been bad days, though there's been hard days, there's been challenging days, there's been days that we have not known how we're going to go through, God is still in the middle of it. And when you look back in your past, you can see the thread of the hand of God in the middle of it all, and we can rejoice in that. As we get a little bit older and as we realize the fact that time has changed a whole lot about us, we need to face the facts. Sometimes we need to even get over ourselves. Sometimes we need to revisit our past of who we were, where we were, what we deserved. Were it not for a good God that met us where we were, and we ought to bless His name that He did not leave us in the wilderness of our past. Our worst day that we face in this life is far better than we ever had in our old dead spiritual life that we have. Today we need to go back as we face the facts and we realize that time has made a change in me. We never expected us to be in the spot where we're in today in life, and you need to go back and you need to recollect the past and remember how good God's been to you in the past, and He'll take care of you in the future. Joshua here, he's looking back and he is seeing the recollection of the past, but then he also has to acknowledge the reality of the present. Now listen, just because you're looking back and you're recollecting all the past, it does not give you the right to live in the past. Churches today, Christians today, they're living in the past. The reason churches are dying is because they are living only on what God did yesterday, not giving the Lord a chance to do something fresh. and something brand new in our day. Live in the past and recollect it. Don't stay there. You got to look for what God has for you right now. You cannot live in the past. We've got to accept and we've got to embrace the reality of our present. You're back in your Bible now in verse number 1. And the scripture again says, "Now Joshua was old, he was stricken in years. The Lord said unto him, Thou art old, stricken in years." Don't you appreciate the humor of the Word of God? Here we have Joshua, he's old. Joshua knows he's old. Joshua is admitting the fact that he's old. But then here's the Lord putting emphasis on that. And in the very next phrase, the Lord is saying, "Yeah, you got that right. Man, you are old." Here's the Lord, it would appear, really encouraging Joshua in this moment. "Yeah, you are old." I heard about these two old guys. I think I told you about it one time before. We'll call them Fred and we'll call them Sam. They decided one day to go and catch an afternoon matinee at the movies. After the movie began, all of a sudden old Fred heard something rustling down up under his seat. He looked over and there was Sam. He was running around up under his seat with his hand. He was trying to find something. And old Fred said, "Sam, what in the world are you doing?" To which Sam replied, "I had a piece of caramel candy in my mouth and I dropped it and it went up under my seat and now I can't find it." Fred said, "Well, forget about it. Besides, the candy would be too dirty to eat now anyways." But old Sam replied, he said, "I can't forget about it. My teeth are in it." That's an example. There's so many we could give there of the reality of just simply growing a little bit older, isn't it? We've all got stories. We've all heard the jokes. Some are personal, some we've never heard. But we've all heard these things and we know about the reality of getting a little bit older. And so as we are coming here to this passage of Scripture, the first 10 or so chapters of the book of Joshua, they really took place over a short amount of time, maybe even just a few months of time. But when you come and you make your way all the way to the 13th chapter, we are seeing that now many, many, many years have passed. Matter of fact, as we come to chapter number 13, we are finding that Joshua is now an old, old, old man. And Joshua would have started his ministry for the Lord. In other words, the call of God came on his life to be this mighty leader for Israel when he was about 80 years old. God said, "I want you to lead a nation into war." An 80-year-old, okay, that's fine. That's old enough, right? But when we come to chapter 13, some 20 or so years appears to have passed. And now you got Joshua, he is now about 100 years old. And in these 20 or so years, from 80 to 100, you know what Joshua did? Oh, Joshua fought well for the Lord. He strived every day, even in those sunset senior years of his life. He strived every day to leave nothing undone and to live a victorious Christian life. But now we can see old Joshua, and if you picture it in your mind with me, we can see old Joshua, the aches and the pains. We see his worn out, battered body struggling just simply to get out of bed and to get up and go throughout the day. And as he wakes up each morning, he wakes his way in and he looks into the mirror, and do you know what he sees? He sees the evidence of all the years that have gone by, and he looks and he sees it, and he says, my goodness, how life has changed for me. I'm not the man that I once was. I'm having a hard time accepting the reality of where I am right now in this life." He saw the graying and the going hair that was there. He saw the bags under his eyes. He saw the wrinkles all through his face. He saw his slumped over body. And as he spoke, he heard his ever weakening, shaking voice. He was facing the facts. Do you see it? He was realizing that time had made a change in him. And emotionally, he no doubt many times cried out with a loud voice, "Where have all the years gone? Time has passed me by so, so quickly." There are some of us in here today that can identify a little bit more with what I've just described, perhaps, than others. Why? Because you've been there. Maybe not at 100 years, but you know what I'm talking about. You've been there. You're realizing that time has made a change in you. You have felt and you are feeling the aches and the pains. You look into the mirror and you see the evidence of all the years that have gone by. You know more about life than you've ever known before, but yet nobody seems to want to listen to you about it. Your emotions are overwhelming in your mind, and you just don't know how to handle all these things anymore. You're flooded with thought after thought after thought. You just don't know how to handle it anymore. Physically, emotionally, I think even a level of mentally, but certainly spiritually as well, you are having to face the facts, and you're struggling with this reality. Because you've never been here before. Here's a struggle that you've got. You don't know if victory can be found in this season of life where you're in right now. Because you don't feel like you've got anything left to contribute to the work of God. You don't feel like you have a place. Remember, regardless of age or circumstance, you don't feel like you have a place anymore. And look, you are just struggling. Trying to find where you fit. Now keep in mind, you have to have the recollection of the past. But there cannot be that time when you live in the past. You've got to look to the present and to the future. So as we move out of the recollection of the past and into the reality of the present, I want you to think thirdly about the regret of the possessions. The regret of the possessions, back in verse number 1, he says to our hearts right here, "Thou art old," the Lord says to Joshua, "stricken in years." Here's the phrase, "there remaineth yet very, very much land to be possessed." That's a dagger in the heart. There remaineth very much land to be possessed. When we read these words, now follow me, you got to follow me close here. When we read these words, it's easy to get the idea that Joshua, listen, did not leave nothing undone, right? It looks that way, doesn't it? Based on our theme verse that it says, "and Joshua left nothing undone." You following me? Or does it? Now, I want to read it to you, but if you want to flip back to chapter number 11 and verse number 15, our theme verse for the year, listen closely to it. "And the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so did Moses command Joshua. And so did Joshua." You following it? "He left nothing undone of all the Lord commanded Moses." Joshua left nothing undone of what God had commanded Moses. See, the Lord had given Moses a command many, many years earlier. But because of disobedience in Moses' life, Moses was never permitted to go into the land of promise. And so God raised up a Joshua to go in and finish some things that Moses had left undone. To finish up the job of Moses. There's another message there that I don't have time to get into in this series. But may it be the goal of every one of our life to not make so many mistakes in our Christian service that somebody else has to finish the job. That we originally were called and commanded by God to do. In the church, one of the hardest things that we have to deal with is when people just don't stick with the work. Somebody's got to do it. Somebody's got to do your job that God gave you the opportunity to do, but for one reason or another, you're just not doing it. And may God help each one of us to never, never have somebody else that has to come and finish the job that God gave us to do. Joshua finished the job. Fact of the matter is, he did it well. He fought well. But now that he was 100 years old, he couldn't lead a battlefield charge anymore. But yet the Bible is telling us right now that there were large portions of the land that had not yet been possessed. Here's the thing. Joshua felt responsible. He felt like he had failed. Now listen to me, Christian. A Christian life of true victory will always grieve in regret and feel responsible when the work of God goes undone, even if it was not his original responsibility to do it in the first place. That's the character of God living within the heart of a believer that is striving for victory in their life. Joshua now saw the magnitude of that lost ground that we talked about due to their failures. And he looked back and he felt he could have done something so much better. He could have done a better job. He could have done more for the Lord. If we were to look at all the land that God initially intended for Israel to be able to conquer and possess, and then we contrast that with what they did possess and what they ended up holding, we would see a shocking discrepancy in what they actually had and what they never claimed that the Lord had given to them and that the Lord had promised to them. You see, when the Lord, what the Lord was to Israel in their land, Christ is to us in the Christian life. And so Joshua is looking at this and he is saying, My goodness, I didn't get the job done. My goodness, I feel so responsible. I don't have victory right now. And so what the land was to Israel, Christ is to us in our Christian life of victory. But here's the thing. Few, if any of us, will ever possess everything that God originally intended for us to have. There are those of us sitting in this room today, we have wasted so much time. Our lives have quickly just gone by. And we are as Joshua. We're looking back with such regret over the possessions because as we look back, we can see God had so much more for us than what we even realized in the very beginning. As you look back at your Christian life, do it right now. Can you see a bunch of spiritual land that God originally had promised to you and told you can possess, but you didn't? And if so, are you satisfied with less than the will of God was for your life in the beginning? I'm not. I'm sure that there are many of us, if not every one of us, that have any spiritual drive about us whatsoever. We're looking at our lives right now and we realize that there's a lot of things that we left undone. And there's a lot of things that we don't have time in our lives now to catch up on to get done for God. That's where I'm at. Somebody once asked me, they said, but if God puts it in your heart, won't God let you get it done? Yeah, but God may have put it in my heart many, many years before I really took it seriously. And now I look at my life and I say, there's no way I'll ever be able to get done for the Lord what He currently has in my heart. Most of us with any spiritual drive at all about us, those of us who may be nearing the end of our journey of life, maybe in age, or just simply in acknowledging the fact that it is coming, we live with that regret and the reality that we're probably never going to be able to get it done for God in what time that we have left. And so as we face the facts, time has made a change in us. And as we look back over all of that stuff, we can clearly see the significance of all the lost ground, all the wasted years that we have had, and we are living today with such regret over our failures, and we feel so responsible for it. This is a tough pill to swallow. I told you, young, old, everybody in between, if you've got a drive for God at all, you're looking back and you're seeing, I wasted so much. So much I could have done for God.
while I was out there running around in my life. And I'm telling you that the reason that older people today, they look at us and they warn us and they challenge us and they encourage us to not waste these days. Don't run your own direction in life. Live a victorious Christian life. Leave nothing undone on it. The reason that they are this way today is because they are there right now. Right. And they're facing the facts. And they're looking back. Time has made a change in them. And they're realizing, I wish I could go back to where you're at in life. Because there's so much more possession spiritually that I could have had, but I never got it. And I tell you, hearts in this generation coming up behind us today are so hard. You think honestly, and I say this respectfully, you think honestly that you've got this thing figured out. I'm right in the middle. I've told you before, 45 years old. I'm not among the younger ones. I'm not among the older ones. I'm right in the middle. But I'm telling you, I see this today. And I see the lack of concern of this younger generation today. And God bless them. But I am telling you that if you're saved, there's coming a day in your life when you're going to look back with such regret because there's so much you missed. There's so many opportunities God gave you that you did not seize in the moment that He gave it to you. You will look back in regret. I've always told you, I don't believe I missed the will of God in my timing of surrendering to preach. God called me to preach, and I battled with it for a few months, but I finally said, I'm going to do this. I'm going on with the Lord. God has called me to do it. I don't believe I missed. I don't believe He called me when we were driving up the road in Germany that day. I don't believe that at all. I had to do some other things. God had to take me down a different path. So I don't believe I missed the will of God. But even yet, I look back and I wish with all my heart that I would have had 10 more years. Yes. Joshua, here he is. Do you see it? There's the recollection of the past. He's an old man. He's looking back. But then he can't live in the past. There's the reality of the present. But it's tough on him. It's tough on him because there's the regret of the possessions. There's so much that was left undone. If that be you today, young or old, regardless of age or circumstance, if that be you today, just as Joshua was, I want to leave you with one final thought. I hope you'll let me. Because I also want you to think as well about the redirection of the purpose. Now this helped me. I hope that it will help you. The redirection of the purpose. Now based on chapter 13 and verse number 1, as we just discussed, it is so easy to get the idea that Joshua was done. He was done in his contribution to the work of God. He was done in all of his ability to serve the Lord. But wait a minute. We're only halfway through the book. I mean, his wartime leadership is over. He's 100 years old. What more possibly can Joshua do? We're looking now at verses 2, 3, 4, and 5. And even when you go on into verse number 6... we are seeing right here the Lord giving a list of land that had not yet been possessed and conquered. But on in verse number 6, God gave Joshua the most precious treasure of his life. It was the treasure of his life in those days that he thought that he was done. That he had nothing to contribute. That he didn't have a place. That he was washed up, useless, and old to the ultimate work of God. Verse number 6, on into it. The Lord says, them will I drive out from before the children of Israel. He said, I'm going to give you all these unpossessed lands. I'm going to drive them out. Here it is. Watch it. Only divide thou, Joshua, it by lot unto the Israelites for an inheritance. We notice that word lot. It's an interesting word. I can't really get into all of that, but that's how God moved back in the Old Testament days. But we notice that word lot, and if we were to count,
I believe it was 22 times we'll find this word used in the remainder of the chapter. In other words, all the land that they were to possess was going to be divided up between all the tribes, and it was going to be done by lot. So much there that we could talk about. But for right now, I don't want you to miss the final words of verse number 6. Look at it. Get it in your heart. As I have commanded thee. Watch it. As I, that's the Lord, have commanded thee, Joshua, as the Lord has commanded Joshua. Okay, it's evident you're not getting it. Let me try to break it down for you a little bit further here, okay? The Lord is giving Joshua his own command. It is a fresh assignment in this new chapter of life for him, though he was 100 years old, and it had nothing to do with Moses. Right. Nothing to do with Moses. Joshua had finished his first task. That was cleaning up what Moses had left behind. But now the Lord is saying, I got something special for you yet to be done. Even though you're 100 years old. Before, old Joshua, he was cleaning up everything that old Moses had left behind. But now he's got his own marching orders. Now he's making his own mark on history. He is establishing his own legacy. Ladies and gentlemen, sometimes our main calling and purpose in this life, sometimes the thing that's going to put the final grade on our report card of history of our lives lived for God, it is not determined in our younger years of life. The years when we think we've got the most to offer. The years when we think we can get it all done and are invincible. Now, it certainly can be set up by that, and you should live that way. But it is not cemented in it. I would submit that the reason so many Christians have and will go to their graves so unfulfilled is because they quit serving God. They quit serving God at the completion of the command of Moses. And they ignored the thee of the lot that God still had for them in their lives. So there was still something missing. And they come to the final days of life. God, I served you for 50 years. I did everything I could. I'm not poking fun. But we've all heard it, right? But yet there's something that is still not fulfilled. I want to challenge, oh God, help me. I want to challenge everybody here today that if God calls you to do something great or small in your eyes, you better answer that call and you better fulfill that call. Because if you don't do it just as God said, you better do it. There will be a stirring and a longing in your heart. If you go your own way, you will never be able to solve. You'll never be able to do. You'll never be able to satisfy. And so here he is, in those last fleeting days of life. God, in mercy, is saying you did good cleaning up what Moses left behind. Thank you, Joshua. Yep. But now I'm going to let you cement your own legacy. Right. In your old years of life. Though Joshua was no longer able to lead a wartime charge, it did not mean, have I got every ear listening to me? It did not mean that he was done. It just meant that God had to redirect some things. God had to realign some things in and for this brand new season of his life. There would have never been a 1948 establishment of National Israel had Joshua quit at the end of Moses' command. And had he not pressed on to the brand new thee the brand new lot of life that the Lord had for him. Boy, some of us do right now. All of us will one day. If the Lord tarries, we are going to find ourselves in that season of life. One of the seasons of life we just don't like. We don't want to be in this season. We're frustrated by it. We're frantically trying to get through it. We're trying to reverse it. When in reality, just because we don't like the lot in life that we have, when in reality, you know what the Lord may be doing? He's trying to put the cherry on top of the ice cream sundae of a life already lived well for God. He's trying to tee up the final blessing. He's trying to give you that great reward that you can get at the judgment seat of Christ. We have fallen into this mentality today of I can only do it under these circumstances and under these age brackets. We've all done that. We just can't do it. I'm not built like somebody else. I can't accomplish this. I can't do that. No, God's got a lot in your life. I'm too old to do this. No, you're too old to leave a wartime charge. God's got a new lot in your life. Hey, come on, Brother Timothy. I've got more, but let's stop here. You can play whenever you get there, but listen. Listen closely. Now, I'm obviously not going to ask you to do this, but if I were to ask for a show of hands of those of you that are here today or those of you that may be listening, that you have found yourself in a place where you're having to face the facts, time has made a change in you, you just feel too old. You just feel too washed up. You're just out of touch. You can't find a place that you're going to fit. You lack ability. And you don't have anything that you can contribute. If I were to ask you to raise your hands, I imagine just about every hand in this building, due to circumstance or age, it would probably go up. Why are there so many people living lives that are not lives lived of victory for the Lord? Now watch it very carefully and closely right now, church, and let the Word of God help you. Let the Bible help you, regardless of age, regardless of ability, regardless of your circumstances. If the life of the darling Son of God, listen, the darling Son of God, Jesus Christ, if it is not being reproduced in and through your life, if it is not being magnified through your life on a daily basis, get this, your Christian life is no longer vital. It's no longer vital. Kind friend, man, woman, regardless of age or circumstance that you are faced with in life, that lack of vitality, that is exactly what is bringing you to the place where you're asking these questions of, I'm too old. I'm too washed up. I don't have anything to offer. I don't have the ability that somebody else has to serve God. There's no place that I fit. There's no contribution that I can make. I cannot have victory at this stage and season of my Christian life. And if that thought has ever one time entered your mind, and I'll be straight up front with you and let you know that it has many times entered my mind. Not necessarily because of age, but because of ability. Because of being able to keep up with everything else. But if that has ever entered our mind, it is a sign that in that moment, we are not living a life of victory. We're not doing it. Because we're being satisfied with the fulfilling of the command of Moses, and we're not embracing the brand new thee that God has for this season of our life. The devil is using this to steal precious seconds, minutes, days, weeks, months, years, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, all of these things from our lives, and us being able to use them in these days, and we are quickly on our way to that moment of facing death and feeling so unfulfilled. And you're going to leave a whole lot of things undone because you quit with the command of Moses and you did not embrace the V of the brand new lot in your life. We're all faced with this, aren't we? And it's true that we've got to face this fact. I mean, time has made a change in me, but that does not mean that we're done. It just means God's putting us in a different lane. God can still use us. It just means God's given us a new lot in life, and we're going to see this with Joshua, to divide the land, to establish the security of his people for the rest of their existence. So from young to old, good or bad days, face the facts. Time has made a change in you, but you got to get up. Embrace the new lot. I've tried for 3 weeks to preach this message. One reason or another, it just didn't work. It's not a very evangelistic message. I don't know why the Lord reserved it for this Sunday morning. But what I want to encourage you to do is don't ignore the possibility that God may have had something for you in it, and to respond accordingly. We're rising to our feet quietly.